It's fine. It's fine. Sorry. But I always tell people that one of my hobbies is helping people find their spouse. And I'm not kidding about that at all. All right. So maybe next week we can make another love connection. But anyway, we want to get on to our real topic today. We just wanted to bring up the topic of dating, though. That probably gives you a better visual. Some of us people are so old and have been married for so long, we don't remember all the awkwardness and the emotion that goes with it. And now you're full up and you completely remember that, right? It's just right on the top of your mind. And so we want to talk about dating today, but we want to talk in a greater context about where it fits in the Bible. Because honestly, dating is not something that's really mentioned in the Bible. You're not going to find God's 10 rules for dating and how he wants you to take a girl to Starbucks or what happens if you win a game like that. There's not a lot of things that are mentioned. But what is mentioned in the Bible is you know, how we should walk life, how we should live for God. And so if you've given your life to Christ, you're walking toward him and you're walking toward your future that may contain marriage. It might contain dating, might be engagement, but you don't know that. And so we want to talk this morning about the greater concept of keeping your eyes on the target and where God has you going on your path. Every time I mow my yard, there are moments that I get distracted because I have small kids, and so all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, there's a tractor, like a toy tractor in my yard, and I have to mow around it, or I'll see something, or a golf ball or something, and I get to the end of the yard, and I look back, and I'm like, okay, that was terrible. Let's do that stripe again, you know, because it's a competition with your neighbors if you haven't mowed a yard. That's what mowing is. And so I have to constantly remember, don't look at the immediate things that are around me. Keep my eyes on the goal, on the place that I'm going, on the end, and I can have a straight path, but that isn't always easy to do. And so this morning, as we want to talk about what love looks like, what it looks like to live life and to walk this path, this is our big idea that we want to settle on, and it's this. God has given us a roadmap to leave, cleave, and weave as we walk toward our future. Now notice I said walk toward our future. I didn't say as you walk toward marriage, because everyone might not end up married. I didn't say as you start dating in the next year, everyone might not start dating. But as we walk toward our future, God's given us some principles to leave, cleave, and weave, and I think they're valuable. And so we want to look at a passage today out of Genesis chapter 2. And so if you have a Bible, can you turn there with us? If you didn't get a chance to bring a Bible today, there's probably one under your seat or the seat next to you, so you can go ahead and grab that. We sneak those under there. And actually, if you're doing that, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And so we're on page 4. You don't have to turn very far. You can go to page 4. But we want to just read this and pull some principles out of this today as we talk about how God wants us to walk toward our future. So this is Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And let me go ahead and read this. You can follow along. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to just take that one that you're holding home. I'm giving you permission to steal it, all right? This is the only time in your life you'll have permission to steal something, all right? So go ahead and take it. But let me read this to you. This is obviously an account of God creating the world and creating man and woman. It says in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him.' So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird he could and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And Adam chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, birds, and wild animals, but still there was no companion suitable for him. So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from which he had taken it. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. 'At last,' Adam exclaimed, 'she is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she was taken out of a man.' This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, although Adam and his wife were both naked, neither of them felt any shame." And so there's a few obvious things that we can see from that. You've probably heard those verses a lot. You know that story. And yet, just to review, it's very obvious in that God had already created Adam, and now God creates Eve. And so God created male and female. He made them different. He made them unique. He made them to complement each other. He made them to be attracted to each other. And so this is a little soapbox of mine. Attraction is not a bad thing, all right? I think sometimes in the church we shame that. If you're thinking, hey, that person's attractive to me, guess what? God made them that way, all right? You can get in trouble with a second and third look, guys. But if you notice that a girl's pretty, not the end of the world, okay? All right, just wanted to go on a soapbox there. All right, let's get on to the real part, though, all right? God is love. God gave us love. God created love, and God designed marriage. And so we said that God's given us a roadmap to leave, cleave, and weave as we walk toward our future. And so obviously I'm saying that because it rhymes and it sounds good, but I want to unpack that and let us know what it is. And so God's roadmap someday is going to require that as we walk toward the future, we may have to leave our family. And so right out of those verses, it says that for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother. And so someday there just might come a day where you're going to have to leave your family or be on your own. Regardless of that, as you grow up, you're going to become your own person. Right? You're going to be someone who has to depend on yourself, who others are going to depend on. And down the road, if you start dating, maybe if you get married, there's going to be a family that is dependent on you, not just with finances, not just with all the different ways that you can lead a home. There are going to be people that look to you for everything. There are going to be kids in the picture. There's going to be a family and a foundation that's built on you. And so right now, as you walk towards your future, as you look towards your future, you need to be someone who can be depended on. You need to be someone who is ready to leave their family, someone who is currently investing in themselves and investing in the family you know right now, right? You may not have a spouse, you might not have five kids, but you know that right now you are your family. Yes, you have a mother and a father and siblings, but you are your own family. And so you have to worry about and think about the person that you are. Maybe you've heard the quote that happiness isn't finding the right person. Happiness is being the right person. And as you look at your future and you look at what God has set up, He wants you to be someone that others can depend on. He wants you to be someone that a family can depend on and that a family can build on. And so right now, your first goal as you walk toward the future and as you look at the future is being someone that can be depended on. That means working on your relationship with Christ. If you know that someday a spouse is going to be dependent on your relationship with Jesus, you want to strengthen that relationship. That means working on the way that you treat your family so that someday you will treat your family decent. And so maybe that means the way that you treat your mother and father right now. Maybe that means the way you treat your siblings, but working on the way that you view a family and treat a family. Married people, we said it was dating Sunday, but this can apply to us, right? Is anyone feeling guilty yet? Because I was married, and as I wrote these things, I'm feeling guilty, right? We have to be people who can be depended on and people who can be the foundation of a family. And so God's roadmap is going to ask someday that we may have to leave our family. We have to be strong enough and ready enough to make that happen. God's roadmap is also going to ask us to cleave to our spouse. And yes, I know that these words are weird, but they rhyme. So when you go home today, you'll be like, leave, cleave, weave. You'll remember that. That's the goal, right? All right, so we may have to leave our family. We're going to have to cleave to our spouse. And this is the fun part because, cleave means that a husband and wife are going to be joined together, right? We warned that this series might be a little PG-13, so let me just tell you that when I say joined together, I mean Old Testament style, right? All right? I'm talking about sex. Okay, I'll whisper it in case anyone's out there on the treadmill. We don't want to freak them out, all right? But this is God's design, all right? It's not supposed to be shameful or funny, although it is kind of funny. Let's be honest. We all laughed, all right? But this is how God designed love. This is how He wants it. He's saying that whether we know the right person now or not, He's saying that sometime down the road, as we walk this path, there's a good chance that we're gonna leave our family. We're gonna be joined together. We're gonna cleave together with our spouse. And so we're going to be one flesh with that person, all right? That means that you're going to be one flesh for life. That means that God has designed you to be joined with one person for your life. And so let's read back into that as we walk this path. That means that we should plan toward that. We should save ourselves for that, right? We shouldn't give ourselves to other people. We shouldn't be joined together with other people. We shouldn't have sex with other people. We shouldn't be one flesh with other people. We should be planning that someday down the road, someday on that path, God is going to ask us to cleave together with our spouse. So that means that anyone who loves you, anyone who cares about you, anyone who wants what is best for you is going to want that same thing for you, right? Last week, as we defined love, we said that love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And so people that love us want to see us follow God to the fullest of our potential. They want what's best for us. And so someone who loves us and wants what is best for us is going to help us stay pure and save ourselves for our spouse someday. And so God created sex, God gave us sex, and it's His design for husband and wife someday. And I'm not as smart as some of the nurses or PAs or different people that go here. But there are certain chemicals in your body that are swapped when you have sex that actually literally bond you together mentally, right? And so God created this to be a process that's not supposed to happen a bunch of different times. It's not like hanging a poster in your room and then you tear the tape off the wall and you put it back and you tear the tape off the wall and eventually there's just nothing there. This is a process that God designed to happen once and to bond you together. But I don't want to stand up here and act like, oh, okay, we talked about that. I guess we're good. I'd be lying if I said that's an easy thing. Just, okay, nobody think about intimacy. Don't think about sex. Everybody be pure. Congratulations. All right, that's not an easy thing. And so I want to spend some time going deeper and talk about sex, talk about temptation, and talk about the things that go through our minds. And so we want to jump to another passage, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And it's on page 882, if you've got one of the Bibles that was under your seat, page 882. And we want to just read this because we know that God has designed us to be our own strong family, to be ready to leave. We know that God's designed us to cleave together with a spouse. But let's be honest, there's temptation that's in our life, and there's a lot of pressure on us to do other things. And so we want to talk about practically, what does that look like? This is 1 Corinthians 6 on page 882, verses 12 to 20, and it says this. You may say, I am allowed to do anything, but I reply, not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But our bodies were not made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise our bodies from the dead by his marvelous power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So we've said that if you're a Christ follower, if you've given your life to Christ, your job is to honor Christ and to live for him. And this verse kind of clarifies that and said our job is to honor God in all of our relationships and the way we live, but also with our body. God wants us to honor him with our bodies and the way that we interact with other people's bodies. And so the natural question that people always want to know, I was a student pastor for a few years, and people would always, they'd want to know that, like, well, how far is too far? Like, when is it dishonor exactly? And I was reading something this week from another pastor, and he said this. Let's consider, just pretend you've been married for 10 years, right? And your wife is pregnant with your third child, and imagine that's your friend. You know, he's been married. His wife is pregnant with her third child, and he comes up to you and he says, hey, how far can I go with my secretary till it counts as adultery? All right? That's some good context for us, right? Because you'd be like, well, not very far. You should probably just talk to her, you know? Like, you'd draw a pretty clear line right away. And yet sometimes, you know, when we're dating the person and when we're emotionally involved, when we're in a relationship, we want to blur those lines or change that. And the reality is, this passage says to run from sexual sin, right? When I was in eighth grade, I got caught TPing and some cops showed up. And when I think of the word run with an exclamation point after it, like it's in this passage, that's what I think of, right? I mean, when you're truly running and you're terrified that you're going to be arrested in eighth grade and your mom's going to have to come and get you out of jail, you have a whole new definition of run, right? And so that's what God is saying. He's not saying, get as close to this line as possible and look over the cliff. He's saying, run. Avoid it, get away at all costs. And so that applies to when we're single and we're attracted to our friends. That applies to when we're dating people and we love them and we've been in a relationship for 4 years and we know we're going to marry them. And that applies to when we're engaged, no matter how long you've been engaged. We should run from sin. It doesn't just apply To relationships with people that we know and meet, but it applies to a lot of other things. And so this is some of the stuff that can apply to us married people. This means that it applies to our thought life and to the things we see with our eyes. It applies when we're on the internet. It applies when we're up late at night on our laptop. This applies to Snapchat and Instagram and every other possible thing that could drag you down or could be defined as temptation or sexual sin. We're told to run from that, so that we can cleave to a spouse, either one that God has already given us, one that he may give us in the future, or just so that we're on that path running toward him. God has given us a roadmap to leave, cleave, and weave as we walk toward our future. And that doesn't just apply to the things that we look at and the things we do. It applies to the way that we interact with people. And so I want to bring up a concept that some of us might not be conscious of, but it's a huge one. And there are times that we make other people stumble. There are times that by the way that we talk to someone, by the way that we get their hopes up, by the way that we flirt with them, or even by the way that people dress, basically, we're inviting other people to stumble and be tempted. And that's a concept called defrauding. And so I want to just read this passage to you real quick from 1 Thessalonians. This is written, and it says this: "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You are doing this already, and we encourage you to do so much more. For you remember what we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in a lustful passion as others do in their ignorance of God and his ways. Never cheat a Christian brother in this matter by taking his wife." This concept of defrauding can be one that sometimes we misunderstand, because you can hear that passage and think, well, yeah, I've never taken another guy's wife, so we're good there. And yet sometimes we stare at people. We let a gaze or a look linger too long, or the way that we interact with people, or the way that we invite people to interact with us, the way that we invite them to flirt or look at us, by the way that we dress or the way that we talk to them. Sometimes we're dragging people down, and we're causing them to stumble, and we're inviting them into sexual sin, and we're inviting ourselves into sexual sin. And so, again, I want to reiterate that I'm very conscious of the term "don't preach at me," right? The verb preaching in America has a bad connotation, and here I stand talking about this stuff and standing on a stage, and so I don't want to pretend that I'm better than anyone, and probably everything that I've talked about today I've messed up 1,000 times, and I've fallen victim to these things, and that's why I want to talk about these things and why I'm passionate, because I think that love, dating, relationships, sex, and all of these things are one of the greatest ways that Satan has to drag us down. Because we've messed up, we've all fallen, we've sinned, and we feel like, okay, we're talking about this path toward the future. Well, guess what? I'm pretty far off the path, Mark. So now you made me feel guilty. Thanks a lot, buddy. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians. Maybe you're still there on page 882. And read one of the passages that's right before that last part that we just read, because this addresses a lot of things. Some people are thinking, okay, well, I've gone off the path, I've messed up, I'm not sure where I'm going, I'm not sure what this is all about. Here's what this same passage says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. It says this on page 882. "Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will have a share in the kingdom of God." Now, that's not an all-inclusive list, right? I think sometimes Christians love to use this passage to, like, point out one sin and be like, your sin's worse than my sin, and now I feel awesome, great. All right? This is just an example that's given. All of these things are things that are not focused on God, and so they're sins, all right? But these are things that are sin, that are wrong. But here's what this passage says, and here's what gives hope to those of us that feel like we've done wrong, we've sinned, we've done things we wish we could take back, we've walked off the path toward our future that God has laid out. It says none of these will have a share in the kingdom of God. But verse 11 says this: "There was a time when some of you were just like that." Does that sound familiar to anyone? Looking back, maybe you've sinned once or twice in your life, or 1,000 times like me. "And you've been set apart for God. You've been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you." And so God is saying, yes, There's a time that you were messed up. There's a time that you did these things. And yet now, because you have put your faith and your hope and your love and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, those things have been erased. Those things have been forgotten. The past is behind you, and you can walk toward God because of your relationship with Jesus. He is your bridge to your relationship with God, and you can walk toward Him, and you can find Him. You can be found in Him. You can find your way back to God. We just have to know that Jesus has forgotten those things and walk toward God, to commit to know Him and love Him and make our life about Him. And we can't let Satan bring up the things of the past and shame us. We can't let him make us feel guilty. We only control what is in front of us. So God has given us a roadmap to leave, cleave, and weave as we walk toward our future. And so what does all this mean for us? We've talked about all these ways we're tempted and sexual immorality and sexual sin. And here's the reality, guys. This might mean that we need some accountability, right? If you're single and you know... Apparently my battery went dead, all right? If you know that the internet is a huge struggle for you, guess what? You may need to get rid of the internet, right? And if you know that you can't handle some of these things, you may need to eliminate them from your life. You may need someone to ask you monthly or weekly, hey, how have you been doing? Are you struggling with this? You may need accountability. Single people might need accountability. Dating people might need accountability. Engaged people might need accountability. Married people might need accountability. And so we have to put guidelines in place, right? If we want to be people who are dedicated to leave, cleave, and weave, we have to have guidelines and things that steer us and things that help us walk toward our future and walk toward God. Kristen and I have a rule that we're never alone with the opposite sex, right? And so that means that I might go out to lunch with a lot of people, right? But you're not going to see me just go and pick up some girl from Movement Church at her house and go hang out for the afternoon at Starbucks. Daniel Foley can do that all he wants, all right? I'm not going to do that, right? Just because you know that temptation can't happen if you don't put yourself in that situation. And so that's a way that applies for married people. For dating people, it might mean that you're not together after 10 o'clock, right? I've heard dads say nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. And so maybe you just go on breakfast dates at 7:30 a.m. because you know you can trust yourself, right? And no single guy is even really awake then. So he won't be able to do anything bad, right? Because he's kind of just still waking up, all right? It might just mean that you have to put parameters in your life. Maybe you have to have one of those software things that sends your internet history to people just so they can keep an eye on you and hold you accountable. But if you're going to be committed to walk toward God and this roadmap that He has to leave, cleave, and weave, you're going to have to put boundaries and things in your life. And so the last one of those we talked about, you might have to leave your family. You might have to be someone that God can look to and for a family to be built upon. You might have to cleave to a spouse someday. You're going to want to be excited about that because it's an exciting thing, right? But you're going to have to walk in a path of purity right now, and you're going to have to weave your life together. And that means this, that someday you're going to be committed and given to only your spouse. You're not going to continue to date 30 people, or your best friend is probably not going to be of the opposite sex anymore, right? Because that's going to complicate things and make them weird. You're going to be given to and devoted to only one person. And so that means that you need to look at dating and look at your relationship and take that serious. That means that dating a different person every weekend it just makes you a serial dater, right? And it makes you someone who views people and relationships as kind of throwaway. And you're training yourself up for divorce. You're training yourself to not view love and relationships seriously. And so you need to take dating serious now, view it with high regard, and know that God is going to bring someone alongside you. God is going to bring someone into your life. And as you're walking toward Him and you're on this path of leave, cleave, weave, you might look over and say, you know what? That's the person that God has for me. And when you see that person, when you feel like you know that person, then you can get to know them. You can begin investing in that relationship while still walking on that path together. But you don't want to just make that some throwaway thing. You want to hold dating. You want to hold marriage. You want to hold relationships in high regard. So as you're looking and as you're watching for that person, you want to take care of yourself, but you want to also watch them. You want to watch how they interact with their family, right? You want to watch how they interact with your family. You want to watch how they do ministry, right? Maybe you want to just join their movement group out of nowhere so you can watch them up close, all right? So everybody will probably be switching groups this week and checking people out. I want to just say I had a chance to go out for pizza with like 30 single people from Movement a couple weeks ago. Kristen and I did. It was fascinating just to be there. We were like the old people in the room just like watching the whole thing. It was very fun. But anyway, it was cool just to see them like looking around, and I'm thinking about that stuff. I'm like, I wonder how they view each other. How do they watch each other interact, and what do they say? And here's the reality. Someone that you should want to date, someone that you should want to be with, someone that you should be serious about, and someone that you should want to love should be doing these things that we talked about today. They should be taking care of their relationship with God. They should be running toward Him, and they should be making themselves into the kind of person, right, who is ready to care for a family and who's ready to be depended on. They should be keeping themselves pure so that someday when God asks them to cleave to their spouse, they're ready for that, and they're committed to that, and they're doing that. And they should be someone who's taking dating serious, who's guarding their heart enough that they're not doing throwaway relationships and just dating people for fun, because they know that someday God's going to ask them to weave their life together with their spouse. And so we're called to live out God's love. We're called to be conscious of the path that He has us on, the future that He has us walking toward. And as you're looking for those things, I would tell you to try and never go on Facebook again, right? Because it can only mess with your mind and make you lonely. And as I was prepping for this, I was just, as I would see something on my timeline, I'm like, oh, read that and think about that. What does the world say about dating? What does this random blog say about dating? And I've never seen so many articles shared in all my life as in like the last year. Like, people don't even update their status anymore. They just share like 21 ways to find the guy you love within 6 days or something. It's just like a random article, right? And so these are all real articles I found, but it was like, the top 8 things you should look for in a guy, the top 8 things you should look for in a girl, reasons you shouldn't marry him, 21 things to look for in a spouse, how to guard your heart, how to unguard your heart. There was one that was about like, you know, about sex and statistics of hooking up and different things. And there was another one that was like, what makes someone attractive? What makes someone unattractive? How you can tell watching someone talk to your mom one time if they're the person for you. And like so many things, I was just like, this is dizzying and crazy. And that's why I wanted today to be as simple as it could possibly be. And so I wanted to boil that big idea down to what we've had. God has given us a roadmap to leave, cleave, and weave as we walk toward our future, period. I don't know if your future will be dating. I don't know if your future will be engagement, but I promise you if you set your life on that path and are built around leave, cleave, weave, that you will honor God and that you will be glad you did. And if that doesn't work, just find a person and bring him over to my house and I can interview him and we'll go from there, all right? And I'll tell him if you're allowed to marry him, okay? You can always do that too. Well, as we have talked about all this stuff today, I know that we've talked about a lot, and I know we've talked and named lists and things, and I mentioned that often this is something that trips us up and brings us into temptation and something that can make us feel guilty. And so I don't want to just gloss over today and say, okay, we talked about sexual sin. If you're struggling with that, good luck. You're dating someone. Figure it out. Right? We're a church that wants to walk beside people. And so as we talked about, you have to be ready to leave your surroundings and build your relationship with God and be someone that a family can depend on. If you feel like you're not that person, I would love to talk to you and get you matched up with someone who could mentor you. I'd love to see you jump into a movement group where you can grow in your relationship with God and be around other people that will share life with you and will help mature you and rub off on you. And if that's something that you feel like you need in your life, if you feel like your purity right now is just not going great and you feel like that's going to affect the way that you weave together with a spouse later in life, I would love to talk to you, or my wife would love to talk to you, or someone at the Next Steps table would love to talk to you. We've got resources if you're struggling with things on the internet, or we've got people who can meet with you, can counsel you, and can talk with you if you've just been struggling or if you've messed up. And if you just feel like, someday, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be committed about marriage. My parents got a divorce. I'm not sure what that looks like. Again, if weaving your life together with one person for the rest of your life makes you nervous, we would love to talk to you at the Next Steps table. We would love to get you matched up in a group if that can help. But we want to be here as a church because we've said that we're a movement of people finding our way back to God. And so that means that collectively, as a group, we're intentional and we're contagious about the love of Jesus and about living that out. And so we want to help each other as we walk toward this. God has given us a roadmap to leave, cleave, and weave as we walk toward our future. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you for today. Thank you for a chance to be in your presence, Lord, to look in your word and be blessed by it. God, this is not an easy thing that we talked about, but we want to be people who are found in you, who are walking toward you, and who honor you regardless of our relationships. Lord, regardless of if we know exactly where we're walking, we know that we're walking toward you, and we want to keep our eyes on you. Single people, dating people, engaged people, married people, divorced people, Lord, we want to walk toward you. So help us to do that today. Help us as we worship to honor you, to sing to you, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.